As we had mentioned at the beginning of the discourse, we now have until 11 o'clock to ask Brother Carl questions regarding the subject matter dealt with in the discourse. We would ask Brother Carl if he would repeat the question so that the individuals who will be listening on tape will understand what you're responding to. And again, we'd like to restrict the questions to the topic dealt with in the discourse.
Do we have any questions? Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, sister's asking that when we have the Holy Spirit coming down at Pentecost, is not this another evidence that the merit is applied or available? Certainly. This is why it is in the Pentecostal sermon in Acts 2 that the conclusion is, he which you crucified is no longer Christ. He's both Lord, owner, and Christ. But it does not mean that he has purchased the race. Because the Holy Spirit that was there coming down was not for the race. It was for those to whom he made available the value of that merit. Not through a purchase, but through a covering or a guarantee or a suretyship. Kenneth? Brian? Can you put up that fifth-line board again, please? Kenneth's question is, noting that in verse 20, Luke 23:46, the phrase, into thy hands I commend my spirit, that in the fifth volume forward, Brother Russell was applying the term spirit to merit or value of his life. In earlier writings, he applies it to more the thought of a hope of his own future life. You might say, I commit my hope for the future. I'm leaving it in your hands. You do now what's next for you. And the specific question is there anything in the word, or the question was, what is there in the word spirit that supports this? I'm going to change it to, is there anything in the word spirit that supports this? That's a little different question. I don't really think there is that I know of, Ken. I think that we have to recognize in the human life concept, there are three words that are primarily used. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You've got body, breath, and soul. That, generally speaking, spirit is the one that's interchangeable with breath, particularly when spirit is from the word pneuma, as it is here, instead of psuche. And psuche is the larger thought of the soul. But here the word is pneuma, which has a thought of breath. So in the word itself, it is difficult to define the specificness of meaning. However, there is nothing in the word pneuma to suggest my future. There would be a way to say that. I commit myself into thy spirit. I commit my life into thy spirit, into thy hands. I commit my resurrection. You could say any of these things. The word spirit in itself would not convey that thought. Where there is no spirit, there is no life. So it was the uniqueness of the spirit, or the pneuma, or the breath, that made him a living soul. And so I think on this basis, and this is the basis of reasoning, this is not a basis of the Greek, but a basis of reason, and we think it is a very reasonable conclusion. We'd like to again note his definition in the foreword. After the Spirit, he puts dash, my life and all of its rights. He's using a legal term. I appreciated the fact that Ken knows that I don't know whether it's exclusively so, Ken, as far as I know it is, that it's only in his earlier writings where he uses the other thought of my hopes, my hopes for the future. This does not make that thought totally invalid, because we use expressions in a general sense and in a specific sense. But in the specific sense of the word, I think because that which is involved here is deposited, and it can't, obviously that breath is deposited, it's got to be the thought of the life as a whole. Ken, I don't know if you have anything yourself on that, but any additional specific reasoning. That's a good point. That's very good. Thank you, Ken. The quotation of Paul regarding Eutychus when he fell from the window. It's his spirit, it's his life still in him. Additional questions? Tony? If I had an hour, I'd be glad to. I'll try to do it briefly. I'll try to be specific to the point. In the Sermon of Pentecost, I think we all realize that Apostle Peter quotes Joel, the second chapter, verses 28 and 29. It shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. In the quotation in the book of Acts, he not only quotes the entirety of these two verses, he quotes all the way down to the midpoint of verse 32 of Joel. He stops just before the phrase, in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. One explanation is that he's quoting the whole of the prophecy because half of it was being fulfilled at that time. And the half that's being fulfilled is not first half or second half, it's selected half. It's phrases throughout. Personally, I think that argument is weak. And I personally do not accept that point, even though I think it is a majority viewpoint. Personally, I think what he is saying is a process that will result in the Spirit going to all flesh began there, in one continuous process. In a very real and not just symbolic sense, it already began going to all flesh as opposed to Jewish flesh. Up to this time, you had salvation of the Jews. Now you have an offering that's going to Gentiles as well as Jews. And so I think he's talking about a process that branches out into the full millennial pouring. It does not reach all flesh until the end of the millennium. But it begins reaching non-Jewish, all flesh from the standpoint of the not exclusive, within 3.5 years of the citation of the prophecy. I think that it's not available until the merit is available. And since the merit is only available for the church, it is only available to the church during the gospel age and cannot be available for mankind until the payment is complete. Further questions?
Thank you, Brother Carl. Well, if anything comes up during the course of the fellowship period, I'm sure Brother Carl will be very happy to deal with your questions. What we'd like to do now is to close with Appendix L. I'll sing all three verses, rising on the last, and ask that you be seated briefly for some announcements after Brother Carl closes with prayer. That's hymn number L, Appendix L, Jesus, Refuge of My Soul.
Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to Thee that Thou hast given Thy Son. He did die for our sins. Chance to live unto Thee. Grant us, Father, a deeper appreciation of Thy truth. Grant us the ability to obey it by relying constantly upon Him for the forgiveness of our sins, and by trusting Him, by God, our lives alongside His. To this extent, give our appreciation in the name of Jesus our Lord.
Brethren, if you'd be seated for just one moment. I'd just like to remind you that we'll reconvene here at 11:30 for a testimony meeting. Between now and then, there are refreshments down in the cafeteria on book table available to you outside the door. So we'll reconvene again at 11:30.